Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Lori J. Cameron's The Mindful Day. So Sophie, you and I both read this one, and I gotta say, I was a little skeptical at first. Another mindfulness book, right?
Right, but this one's different. It's not about becoming a monk on a mountaintop. Cameron's whole thing is taking mindfulness off the cushion and into your actual day. She's a senior teacher at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, so she's got the research to back it up. And the structure is genius. It walks you through a single day, from waking up to falling asleep.
Yeah, and that's what hooked me. She starts with the first moment you wake up, and her first piece of advice is, don't reach for your smartphone. I literally felt called out.
Oh, totally. She calls it a mindful morning pause. Just stay in bed for a minute or two, feel your breath, notice the sheets, and set an intention for the day. Not a to-do list, but a quality you want to embody, like patience or courage.
And that intention becomes your compass. I tried it this morning, actually. I set an intention to be patient, and then I hit traffic on the way here. And instead of losing it, I just kept thinking, patience, patience. It kind of worked.
See, that's the thing. She reframes the commute as a practice. She calls it driving meditation. You focus on your hands on the wheel, the rhythm of your breath. And when frustration arises, you just notice it, label it, and let it pass.
So it's not about suppressing anger. It's about not being swept away by it.
Exactly. You're not your anger. You're the one who's aware of it. And that's the core skill she's teaching.
Okay. But here's where I really got on board. She tackles multitasking, and she's not gentle about it. She says the world glorifies it, but research shows it actually makes you less productive and more stressed.
Right, and she's all about single tasking, doing one thing at a time with full attention. And when your mind wanders or a notification pops up, you just gently bring your attention back. That act of returning is the workout.
It's like reps for your brain. So what's the framework for dealing with those tough moments, like a heated argument? I remember she has a specific practice.
Yeah, it's called stop. Stop, take a breath, observe what's happening inside and around you, and then proceed with intention. It creates a tiny gap between stimulus and response. And in that gap is your freedom.
I actually used that last week when my kid was having a meltdown. I just stopped, took a breath, and instead of yelling, I got down to his level. It changed the whole interaction. It's wild how simple it is.
And she's big on the body scan, too. We live in our heads so much, we ignore the signals our bodies are sending. The body scan is a way to tune in and catch stress before it becomes burnout.
Right. And there's also that 3-minute breathing space. I do that one on my desk. It's like a reset button.
And then there's mindful eating. She wants you to actually taste your food, not just inhale it in front of a screen. It sounds so simple, but it makes a huge difference. I tried it with lunch today, and I realized I usually eat way too fast.
Okay, but I have to ask about the loving kindness thing. That felt a little out there for me at first. Repeating, may I be happy, may I be safe to yourself, it felt kind of cheesy.
I get that. But it's a counterbalance to that harsh inner critic we all carry. It softens the heart, and over time, it makes you more compassionate toward yourself and others. It's not about forcing positivity, it's about planting seeds.
Okay, I'm willing to try it. But what about the transition from work to home? That's a hard one for me. I walk in the door, and I'm still in work mode.
She suggests a transition ritual. A few minutes of quiet, a change of clothes, a walk around the block. Just something to consciously let go of the workday so you can be fully present for your family.
That's good. And then in the evening, she's got the gratitude practice. Reflecting on 3 things you're grateful for. That shifts your brain from what's lacking to what's abundant.
And before sleep, she recommends a body scan or loving kindness meditation to ease the mind into rest. Instead of lying there with a racing mind,
so the whole book is basically a series of small, doable practices. None of them require sitting on a cushion for an hour. They're all woven into the day.
Exactly. And the research is compelling. regular practice actually reshapes the brain. It strengthens the pathways for focus and empathy, and it calms the amygdala, so you're less reactive.
And she makes the point that mindfulness isn't about achieving bliss. Life is still messy. You'll still get angry and sad, but you won't be lost in those emotions. They become like weather patterns passing through the sky.
That's the liberation. Freedom from the automatic, reactive mind. And she also addresses the misconception that mindfulness is selfish. When you're more present, you're a better listener, a more patient parent. Your presence is a gift to everyone around you.
The way you do anything is the way you do everything. That's the line that stuck with me. The small moments are the fabric of a meaningful life. It's not about the big achievements.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So, Sam, what's the one thing you're taking away from this book?
Honestly, it's the idea that I can start small. I don't have to overhaul my life. Just a mindful morning pause, a single task coffee, a stop before I react. Those little moments add up. They're not separate from the big stuff. They're the big stuff.
That's beautiful. And that's the heart of the mindful day. It's an invitation to stop sleepwalking and wake up to this very moment with all its beauty and pain. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in the next one.